I really appreciated the question, how was your week? And let me be honest with you, I really wished I could have been here last Sunday. I'm not just saying that, because as I was driving to Edmonton, on the radio was a weather forecast for a winter storm. And it really was a winter storm. So we got there and started loading the pod, and the idea of moving is actually better than the reality, like a lot of things in life, right? The idea is not even that great, but it's still better than the reality. So we're loading this pod, and at first I'm just getting this perfect, like Tetris. Everything's in there. And I think I've kind of got a gift with this. I can do this for a living. Then at the end, I was just throwing things in there. I had a hammer just trying to get things packed in there tighter and tighter. Anyway, here I am. I made it. It's good to be back. I'm kind of humbled by that applause. That was awesome. My wife, this is where you should applause, though. My wife and daughter are here now. I'm going to applause. So they got in late last night, and they'll be here next week. So look forward to having them here. So yeah, I had to move last weekend. And you know when you move, sometimes you just think you'd rather be doing anything else. Or just like you'd rather be anywhere else. It was not good. I'd rather be in Mexico. Jamaica, Lumbee, anywhere. And sometimes we just want to leave things behind, things that are hard and difficult that we don't want to do. You guys ever feel that way? Today we're beginning a short series on the book of Jonah. And I need to give you a bit of a warning here. I don't want you guys to feel beat up, but you might feel beat up a little bit by the book of Jonah because it's a book of prophecy. And books of prophecy kind of tend to do that. It's going to speak to us, and it's got some hard words, like it did for the people it was written to. It's got some hard words for us today. So buckle up, put your helmets on. If you want to be somewhere else, now's the time to go. There are some difficulties with the book of Jonah, though, because when you think about the book of Jonah, what do you think about? A whale. A fish. A leviathan, whatever they want to call it, and a storm. And we need to get rid of that way of thinking immediately because it doesn't help. We need to get over this idea that Jonah is a story about a guy being swallowed by a fish because it is so much more than that. The fish is only mentioned three times in three different verses. And the focus of Jonah getting swallowed by this great fish, the leviathan, the whale. I'm going to say that right now, right here, so we can keep in mind that that is a distraction from the story. And as we go through the first three verses today and others the next few Sundays, this is where I want us to really think. The God of Israel, the Lord, cares for those who are on the outside. That's the book of Jonah in a nutshell. He cares for the outsiders, those who aren't part of the covenant community, those who don't fit in. He cares for them. He wants to love them. And Jonah has a problem with this. This is how it starts. This is Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. That's a fast start. That's just three verses. It really draws us in. But we're not really left with much context here for understanding this reaction to the word of the Lord. The plot moves along really quickly, but it's also confusing. It raises questions. Why would he run? Why would he do that? You know, to us, he's this anonymous figure in the story. A stranger in a story. And I want you to imagine for a few seconds that you are a Jew. And the book was probably written sometime in the 6th century BC, known as the post-exilic period. And this is when you live. Okay, so you're there. You've got your clothes, your post-exilic clothes on. Okay, get that in your mind. Where was I after that diversion? That really distracted me. I'm sorry. I should never think about people putting different clothes on. So you're living as a powerless nation, just another nation that has been conquered, a puppet state of the Persian Empire. And you have to get permission to do anything as a nation. With Persian approval, they're allowed to start construction of a new temple. So you start reading this book, but you probably can't read, so someone reads you the story or tells you the story of Jonah, and it starts this way. Thus saith the Lord, or the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And it's a time-honored way of starting these stories. The history of the prophets is connected with this. It has an awesome aura about it. It deliberately evokes the prophetic narrative. If you were an ancient Jew hearing this story, you would know this right away, this formula. You'd recognize it. You'd recognize how the story opens. Just like today, you would recognize once upon a time, or maybe a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. You know what's coming, right? They would have recognized it. They would have responded in a positive way. They'd be ready to hear something good, expecting something maybe to their liking. So they would open their minds to the narrative. They're left hanging on the edge of their seat, eager to hear. But when they heard the name of the prophet, Jonah, son of Amittai, they would have received an unpleasant jolt of surprise and recognition. It would have been controversial. He was a prophet of the North Kingdom, the kingdom that left Judah and the Davidic rule. You can read this in 2 Kings. And instead of prophesying against the sins of the North Kingdom of this rebel state, he prophesied that their borders would be expanded. And right away we have a problem. Okay, it would be like this. It would be like going to a conference to hear stuff about the church. And it's Bill Hybels. That's who you're expecting. But the guy that comes out is Rob Bell. Not quite what I expected. It's a bit of a surprise. It would be a shock. It would be controversial. This is maybe how they felt about Jonah, son of Amittai. But their shock continues. The word of the Lord being delivered to Nineveh. Wait, Nineveh? They wouldn't be happy about the word of the Lord being given to the Ninevites because they were foreigners. They were sinners. They didn't belong. Nineveh was the largest city of the world for a while, said to have been founded by Nimrod of Assyria. It was an important city. It was right near the Tigris River, near the modern city of Mosul in Iraq that we hear so much about on the news today. So far from wanting them to get saved, nothing would have pleased them more than to see them get what they thought they deserved. This was a city of oppressors. These were the bad guys. This was a Persian city. Why save it? Better it be destroyed. There's another thing you would know if you were an ancient Jew hearing this story. You would know that the city of Tarshish, where Jonah decided to go, you would know its reputation and its history. It was a gateway city. It was a place of adventure. It was cosmopolitan. It was full of cool people, the best coffee, and the best concerts. That's where he was going. This is where Jonah wants to go to and practice being a prophet in this nice place. So let's read these first few verses again with that context in mind. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord.
When God ordered him to go to Nineveh to bring his word to them, Jonah's disposition soured right away. His face went from a smile, "Yeah, I'm your prophet," to a frown, to a scowl. "Okay, God, Nineveh. Yeah, I can do that." So he goes to the closest ticket master. "Okay, God, yes, I'll be your prophet." And he orders some. "Give me one ticket to Tarshish.
That sounds better.
And, oh, by the way, can I get a nice room below deck? Because I don't like to get wet when I'm on ships." The problem in this story is apparent immediately. Jonah doesn't care about who God cares about. So he masquerades. He kind of listens, but he changes things to his liking. And I wonder, are we so different? Do we truly care about who God cares about? There's something we should notice here. Jonah's journey to Tarshish is motivated by the word of God. It's what sets him on his journey, which is significant. He doesn't ignore the word of God, God's command. He doesn't stay where he was in Joppa. He doesn't just get busy with his old job and bury himself in his work and papers and try to forget this call. He goes in an act of obedience, sort of. He just goes somewhere else, somewhere he would prefer, to people he would prefer. "You want me to do this missionary thing, God? Okay, let's do it." "Wait a minute. You never said anything about Edmonton. I'm going to Kelowna." Jonah doesn't care about who God cares about. And the God of Israel, our God, cares for the Gentiles. The Gentiles were those who were thought to be out by the Jews, the unloved, the ones for whom they could never be any forgiveness, the ones who didn't belong, the ones who would and should never belong. So imagine reading this as a Jew back in the 6th century BC. God loves the oppressors. God loves the ones who you say he hates. It's a tough word. The readers would have struggled with this just as Jonah did. The news was a revelation, or maybe a revolution. Many of them would have called it bad theology, dangerous. "This is unbiblical. This is the news." The Gentiles, the Ninevites, who responded to the word of God, could be shown love and mercy just like the Jews. Jonah couldn't take it. He couldn't accept it. This is why he only partially obeyed and went in the other direction. He didn't want those people receiving mercy from God. He didn't want those people to be acceptable. He was much happier with them on the outside, being unacceptable. So, Jonah is a guy who wanted to get away from it all. He's a guy that needed to go somewhere to get a job done. He didn't want to do it. He wanted to escape. Jonah doesn't care about what God cares about. He didn't want to go to them and preach to them and offer judgment. He'd rather they never hear from the word of the Lord. And the content of this term, judgment, is interesting. We think of something harsh, like preach against them. But it was bad news to Jonah because he knew that God's judgment meant something else. We're going to cheat forward a little bit to Jonah chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, because it offers us an insight into Jonah's thought process at the beginning. Because we read that he fears God will change his mind and have mercy and spare them. This is what it says in verses 2 and 3. He prayed to the Lord. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. He fears that God will relent on his purpose and spare the Ninevites. He fears God's mercy on these people. He knows God is merciful. He doesn't want them to be saved. He wants them in torment. He delights in the idea of those people burning in hell forever. So he decides to go somewhere else because he doesn't care about who God cares about. It's funny how the heart can make us do something or not do something that the mind knows is right. Even though in our head we know it's not what we should do, it can really overpower us. In this situation, we have Jonah hearing from the Lord. Then he needs to go preach a message of repentance to Nineveh. But he runs. We know that he knows in his head that he cannot run from God. That's one of the ironies in the story. He can't run from God. Jonah knows that God is all-powerful and gracious. We know that God is not like Wi-Fi. The further you get away from it, the weaker the signal gets. It doesn't work that way. It's a crazy idea that somewhere on this planet there is a place that will hide us from the presence of the Creator. He knows he can't go anywhere that will take him further from the presence of God. Yet he runs. He hides. He flees. He is so overwhelmed by hate for the people that he is called to love that he cannot deal with it. Logic is thrown out. He runs from God. We can't run from God. We know this in our heads. But sometimes our hearts cause us to take action that attempts to sabotage the work that God wants to do in and through us. Jonah doesn't have God's heart. He doesn't have the Father's heart. But the good news for the people of Nineveh is God does not have the heart that Jonah does. God loves the people that Jonah did not. Jonah's not about a fish. The guy getting swallowed by it. Let's not get caught up in that fish tail. Sorry, I just had to say it. Yes, it's a groaner. Jonah is about God's mission and our participation in it. And it contrasts Jonah's heart with God's heart. By extension, it contrasts our hearts with God's heart. You know that mission to the lost and hurting world? Did you know that that is God's mission? He came to seek and save the lost. He's the seeker. It's God's mission, and he goes before us, and he's asking us to participate with him. He's asking us to be a people that declare the kingdom of God, its values, its uniqueness, and its love. He's asking us to be a people that declare God's kingdom's commitment to justice and mercy and acceptance and to a radical, radical welcome. But like Jonah, we don't care about the people God cares about. That's the tough part. And like Jonah, our hearts need to be softened. We often, like Jonah, want to run away, to escape, to change things to our liking just a little bit. That isn't a Jonah problem. That's a we problem. The disciples didn't get it. Jesus' own disciples, the ones who walked with him, ate with him, the ones who knew him and had conversations with him. He was right there, but they didn't get it. They didn't care about the people that God cares about. They, like Jonah, thought Jesus was there for them. They, like Jonah, wanted to see the oppressors, the bad guys, suffer. They, like Jonah, wanted the kingdom of God to come the way they wanted it. These were Jesus' own disciples. I think we need to hear Jonah and just really let it sink in. Where do you find yourself in this story? How should we read this? Let me give you a hint. We aren't the Ninevites. And we ain't God. What option does that leave us with? The fish, you think? No, we're Jonah. We are Jonah. We today struggle with the same things the disciples struggled with. We want to decide for God who is in and who is out. We want to put up barriers and walls that protect us. We want the kingdom of God for us. And Jonah was a very progressive and challenging story for the Jews at the time. Nowhere in the Old Testament can you find a broader, more merciful, tender, caring, and compassionate God than in this little book. But the real story, like it was for the Jewish people then, is the story for us today. It is about God including people in his story of salvation that we want to exclude. It is about the unwanted, the unclean, the sinful, the outsiders, the other. It is about those people belonging. The word of God came to Jonah, sort of a water theme there, and he ran the other way. Our Nineveh is right here in front of us. God calls us to the people in our neighborhood, our city, our lives, but we want to run to Tarshish. We want to do mission over there or over there or somewhere else. In a place that it can be left behind and the personal cost is not quite so high. Because for so many Christians today, God's mission is about loving who we love, liking who we like, forgiving the forgivable, being in community with those we want to be in community with, saving those worth saving, being and doing church the way we want to be and do church. God is calling us to those, to love those who are unlovable, those we don't want to love, to welcome those who are difficult to welcome. God wants us to care about those he cares about. God wants us to participate in his mission of redemption. He's asking us, do we care about the people that he cares about? Let's pray. Father God, God of Jonah and God of us, God of the universe, Jesus, We pray to you that we would more and more become like you and have your heart for the lost. For those on the outside, that we would see people through your eyes. And that you would challenge us to be a people here who throw the doors wide open and show that your community of love, the kingdom of God, looks like this radical welcome, the way you welcome people. In your name we pray. Amen.